I was thinking of that phrase too, that there's this response to God that is also at work here, not also in the sense of diminishing all that has been said about the grace of God, because we do tend to heighten our own emphasis when we look at it from our side. In some ways, we can't help it. In some ways, because it's from our perspective. Mm-hmm. But there seems to be this thought in the scriptures of God seeking those who are going to respond. He already had shown sovereign grace, actually, by saying in chapter 6, verse 3, that there would be 120 years left. I think if any of us had said verse 3, you know, we would have said, "My spirit will not strive with man forever. He's got 2 weeks." That's the end of it. It's tremendous that God says He has 120 years, and then we will, you know, this is going to be the end. And but there's this idea, this thought of God, like one of the verses in the old in the Kings or Chronicles says that His eyes are going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. Or the other phrase in the prophets that says that God looked for a man to stand in the breach, to stand in the gap, and that He was shocked that there wasn't a man such as that. So at the same time that God is sovereignly choosing, this idea of responding to God's sovereign offer of grace, which you might say was sovereignly offered still, to say there's 120 years left for man to respond to my patience. It does seem that there's somehow He sovereignly chose Noah, and at the same time, these two lines often seem to run together, that Noah was somebody who responded in some way to this offer of grace. We saw his family history. I think that's significant. And also, just without emphasizing this too much, but I always think it's interesting that God says there would be 120 years, and He speaks to Noah in his 500th year, and Noah, the rain, the flood came upon the earth in Noah's 600th year. That's only 100 years. So it seems as if, without trying to press the point too much, it seems as if 20 years before Noah heard from God, God had said, it'll be 120 years. In other words, that could we say it this way? For 20 years already, God had been looking for a man to respond to His grace. It's just a suggestion. So when Noah was 480 years old, perhaps, God says to Himself, God says, "My spirit will not always strive with man. His days will be 120 years. 20 years later, God says to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me. You build an ark." We sometimes say Noah was building the ark for 120 years, but it really seems he was probably building the ark for 100 years, not 120, because God spoke to him. We assume that it says in chapter 5, verse 32, we assume that this is when God began to interact with Noah, when Noah was 500 years old. So just that, to add that to what we're expressing here, and then I think this key thought as far as how it applies to us is we want to be those who respond to the grace of God. And as it says in Timothy, those who are meet for the master's use, or who are easy for the master to use, those who are kept pure in a condition that God can then use us, which He has chosen to do sovereignly, but by our responses or lack of responses or by dirtying our vessels, we can become not as useful as God would like us to be in what He would intend for us in His purposes.
Is it possible that possibly God was working with Noah for some 20 years until He finally responded? Now look at ourselves. Did we respond immediately when the Lord spoke to us the first time? Maybe some did. I know I didn't. Took a little while, quite a little while, in fact. I heard the gospel for quite a few years. At least it went in my head and went out again. But finally, it took hold of me. And probably with most of us. So maybe God walked with Noah for 20 years, and finally, Noah woke up. Now, not to say that God's grace wasn't working with him. I mean, Noah had, I mean, God had his hand out for him and said, "This is the mule, the man. You're the man." So smarten up, so to speak. And finally, yeah, says he walked with God.
God had a time clock, Steve, and it was ticking. The Methuselah, the oldest man who ever lived, 969 years, his name means when he is dead, it shall be sent. That is the flood, the deluge. And so in the book of Acts, it says that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by that man, and he has given assurance in that he has raised him from the dead, speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ. So God knows the time clock. God knows the time, the exact moment when the judgment will fall. I think it's referring probably to the tribulation period, but the judgment. The same thing was true in the Old Testament here. God had a time that was specific to him, and he knew it, and Noah, of course, comes in to provide continuation for the animals and for the race of men. The same thing is true with us. Remnant is mentioned before, and also we talk about it. God has a time. It's going to fall. We don't know when. And so, of course, those who respond are sheltered and preserved.
I was just going to suggest that we move along and to look at the second point, just and upright. One of the things that becomes apparent when we have a sense of the greatness of God is the moral distinction and difference that he is so other than everything that we are. And so what happens is, as we are in that relationship, as we are growing closer and walking in that relationship, that is what starts to rub off on us. He was just, and there's some discussion we could have about that. It could mean his, what we had in Hebrews, that God attributes to him righteousness because of his response to God's call and activity on his life. But he was also perfect. And so there's this dualism that we're talking about, is that on the one hand, it is what God reckons him as, and God reckons us as righteous, as just, justified. But then there's also this matter of perfection and maturity, this matter of walking in a character that's consistent with who God is. Very often, if I don't keep before me God's nature and his character and how he has revealed himself, then I will go up to my comfort level. And what we discover as we expose ourselves more and more to how God has revealed himself, we discover our discomfort level, because his holiness is so distinct from ourselves. And so as we grow closer to him, as we learn and progress in this process, we have the practical coming aligned with the positional. He was just, he's considered just, and we're considered justified, but there's that practical sanctification, that practical implication of what it means to walk in a practical way consistent with the character of God, which brings us back to some of the comments that was made earlier. So Noah and all his generations, it says, were just and perfect. There were those who were responsive to the word, because that's the basis of justification. Those who believe God. And then they were maturing in their conduct, and their moral lives were becoming consistent with the God who had called them.